Now, my text today is found in Romans 4. I'll be reading several verses from the 4th chapter of Romans if it's convenient for you to open your Bible and follow in the reading. Romans 4:3. The subject is Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. It says in verse 3 of Romans 4, "For what saith the Scriptures?" Well, the Scriptures say Abraham believed God, and it was counted, imputed, reckoned unto him for righteousness. The Scripture, what does the Scripture say about Abraham? It says he believed God. He believed God. Didn't say believed in God. Didn't say he believed there was a God. He said he believed God. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, it would be so wise. I know that the majority of people won't do it. I wish they would. But it would be so wise for people who are really interested in things pertaining to God. Are you interested in things pertaining to God? Well, if you are, and if you're interested in eternal life, it would be wise for you to study, diligently study the life and faith of Abraham. You know why? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, throughout the New Testament, Abraham is held up as a picture, a pattern of true faith. That's right. Anyone who knows anything about the Bible will agree with what I'm saying. Abraham, over and over and over again, is held up in the New Testament as the pattern of those who believe, the type of those who believe. In fact, the whole 4th chapter of Romans, this entire chapter that we have before us, deals with his faith, with Abraham's faith. Now, it'd be wise to study the faith, the life and faith of a man who's the pattern, whom God called the pattern, whom God called the father of the faithful. That's right. All who believe in Christ, secondly, are called children of Abraham. Yes, we're sons of God, but here in the Scriptures, we're called children of Abraham. Galatians 3:7 says this, "They which are of faith are the children of Abraham." Says that two or three times. We're children of Abraham. He's the father of the faithful. Wouldn't it be wise to study the life and faith of a man whom God calls under divine inspiration, leads his men to write? He's the father of the faithful. And then thirdly, watch this. You know, the Bible talks about the love of David. David's heart beat with the heart of God. In fact, God called David a man after my own heart twice in the Scriptures. But you know what he called Abraham? In Isaiah 41:8, he says, "Abraham is my friend." Think about that. God Almighty in Isaiah 41:8 says, "Abraham is my friend, the friend of God." I tell you, if I'm going to read anybody's biography, I'm certainly challenged to read the biography of this man, the life and faith of this man. Doesn't that give you a desire to find out something about this man? Who's the pattern of believers? Who's the father of believers? Who's the friend of God Almighty? Well, what's said about this man? Well, in Romans 4, right here before us, there are four statements. Four statements which describe his faith, the faith of Abraham. There are four statements. This helped me a great deal. I hope it's helpful to you. In Romans 4, verse 20, it says concerning Abraham, he staggered not at the promises of God. You know, when a heavy blow comes against a man, he staggers. Or if you were to say to a man, "You owe the government $4 million, that's staggering. Just staggering. But the great promises of God, the indescribable, unspeakable promises, the wonderful promises of God, when they were made to Abraham, didn't shock him. Didn't stagger him. It didn't surprise him. You know why? He believed God. Nothing too hard for God. That was Abraham's faith. Nothing too hard for God. God says, I'll give you a land. I'll give you a city. I'll give you an eternal abode. Here's a sojourner, a pilgrim, wandering in the wilderness, didn't own a foot of land, and God says, I'm going to give you a kingdom. And stagger him. God says, took him out one time and said, look up at the stars, Abraham. Count them. Wow. Can't count the stars. Well, that's how many seed you'll have. He didn't even have a son. 90 years old, didn't even have a son. And God took him out one night and told him, look at the stars and count them, or the sands of the seashore. And he said, that's how many seed you'll have. That didn't stagger him. He believed God. God says, told him, he said, I'll give you a son, Abraham. Abraham was nearly 100 and his wife was 90. Past the age of bearing children. That didn't stagger him. He said, I'll come, Abraham, and Sarah will conceive and bear a son. That didn't rock him. He said, I'll provide for you. You see, Abraham believed God, and he was not staggered by these great promises. What about you? Do God's promises stagger you? I'm not talking about healing your broken arm. I'm talking about the promises of a city. I'm talking about the promises of resurrection. I'm talking about the promises of holiness. I'm talking about the promises of eternal life. I'm talking about the promises of forgiven sin. I'm talking about an everlasting kingdom and glory throughout eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, an eternal city. Abraham didn't look for a place to live down here on the earth. He lived in a tent. That satisfied him altogether. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Does that stagger you? That God could, by the blood of his Son, put away all your sins, by the obedience of his Son, give you a perfect holiness, by the resurrection of his Son, raise your vile body and make it like unto his glorious body, and give you everlasting life. Does that stagger you? Didn't Abraham. He believed God. Second thing about his faith was in verse 20 also, Romans 4. It says, but he was strong in faith. Strong in faith. This means that his faith was not just on paper. That's where you find most people's so-called faith, on paper. They subscribe to a creed, to a denominational dogma, to a theological theory. It's head faith, but not Abraham. He so believed God, he acted on his faith. He acted. His works and his actions, James says, proved he believed God. He was justified by works. What's that mean? I thought it was justified by faith. His soul's justified by faith. His faith justified by works. His soul's justified before God by the obedience and life and death of the Son of God, but his faith is justified before men by his works. God said, get out of your father's house and go to a land I'll show you. And he left, not knowing where he was going. How did I know Abraham believed God? He acted on the word of God. God told him, he said, I'll give you a son. And he believed God. God said, I'll provide for you in the desert. So Abraham turned down a fortune. The kings of Sodom offered him a fortune, and he wouldn't take a shoe latchet from them. He said, I've lifted my hand to God, and I believe God. And God provided. God made him wealthy. He gave Lot the best land. Didn't hesitate because he believed God. And he had a son called Ishmael. You know the story. I don't have to go into that. But God told him to send Ishmael away, and he sent him away. Put a bottle of water on his shoulders and sent him out in the desert. You know why? God told him, he said, Ishmael will also be a great nation. I'll take care of Ishmael. And Abraham believed God, and he acted on it. He sent him away. And then Isaac was born, and God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him. He believed God. Now, let me tell you something. I've heard these divine healers tell people, diabetics and cancer patients and so forth, if you believe God, you don't have to take your medicine. You don't have to take your insulin. You don't have to take this, that, and the other. Now, you wait a minute. Every act of faith when Abraham believed God was based on the Word of God. On the Word of God. And you can't find in the Word of God where it says, don't take your medicine. You can't find in the Word of God where it says, don't take a blood transfusion or don't take your child to the doctor. If you get a direct word from God, then you obey the Word of God. But don't you obey your imagination, and don't you obey some preacher that's trying to pad his pockets and build another building and gain some more fame and doesn't give a rip what happens to you. You hear what I'm saying? Abraham believed God, and he got his word from God, and he got his orders from God, and he got his direction from the Word of God, not from some lame brain preacher. And there's so many of them now, 95% of them. And I'm weary of it. And I'm old enough to say these things. He believed God. He believed God. He acted on the Word of God. Abraham acted on the Word of God. His faith wasn't in theory. It wasn't on paper. It wasn't just in his head. He believed God. And when God told him to do something, he did it. And that proved he believed God. You see what I'm saying? And then thirdly, here's a third mark of Abraham's faith. Verse 20, he gave glory to God. He gave the glory to God. Abraham never praised himself. Abraham never he never left his name on a monument. He never praised himself. He never took any glory to himself. He gave all the glory to God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Abraham knew that. He gave the glory to God. He believed God. He didn't run staggered at the promises of God, but they were God's promises, not his. He acted on the Word of God, but it was the Word of God. It wasn't his word. He had nothing to brag about. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everything he had, God gave him. Everything he knew, God taught him. We don't praise ourselves. Yet who maketh you to differ? Have you got strength? Well, don't glory in your strength. Glory in God who gave it to you. Have you got wisdom? Some people are smarter than others. All men aren't created exactly equal. Some folks are smarter than others. There's Einsteins and geniuses everywhere. Are you smart? Give God the glory. He made you smart. Are you wealthy? Give God the glory. The Lord maketh poor and the Lord maketh rich. The Lord lifteth up and the Lord bringeth down. Give glory to God. I tell you how Abraham's faith is summed up. He started up that mountain with Isaac to sacrifice Isaac. You remember the story? You remember it. And Isaac said, well, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? Now, here's Abraham's theology. Here's his faith. He just looked at that boy. And he didn't go into any great details, any great explanation. He just said, my son, God will provide. That's it. God will provide. God will provide. He gave the glory to God. He gave the glory to God. And then fourthly, watch this about Abraham's faith. And I hope we're applying this to ourselves. The promises of God didn't stagger him. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. He was strong in faith. He acted. When he got a word from God, he acted. He did what God told him to do. And he gave God the glory. And then fourthly, he was fully persuaded. I love that word. But he was fully persuaded. His brow wasn't furrowed by doubt. He didn't have any reserve over here to fall back on in case God didn't come through. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Abraham was so confident, so certain, so positive that what God Almighty said, God Almighty was able to perform. what God said. Here's four questions. I heard a preacher not very long ago, a young man from Iowa, preached at our church. And he asked four questions. He said, did God say it? Now, that's an important question. Did God say it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Did God say it? Let's find out what God said. Not what the Pope said or what some preacher said. What did God say? What does he say in his word? Did God say it? Secondly, can God do it? Can he do it? Can he redeem? Can he save? Can he forgive? Can he raise these vile bodies? Can he make us whole? Can he give us life? Can he? The third question, will he? Will God do it? Is God willing? Is God able? Is God willing? Now the fourth question, do you believe him? Abraham did. He was fully persuaded. Like one preacher I know used to say, he put all his eggs in one basket. All of them. All his hope in one person. His Lord. And the Scriptures declare, now you listen to this, the Scriptures declare that by this faith, by this kind of faith, Abraham was justified. Justified before God. Abraham was a sinner just like you and just like me. He was a man. He wasn't some extraordinary person, you know, some holy thing. Abraham was a man. He was a man. He lied one time to a king. Sarah was a beautiful woman. He's going through the country. His faith had some lapses. He didn't have perfect faith. There's no such thing as perfect faith on this earth. But he believed God. But he had his times of trouble, his struggles, and times of difficulty. Abraham, one time a king, wanted Sarah. She was a beautiful woman. And Abraham said, well, she's my sister. He lied to her. Did that twice. And on another occasion, when God promised that Isaac would be born, well, Sarah came and said, looks like we're not going to have a son. The years passed, you see. God will try us. He'll try our faith, and he'll try it a lot of times with time. You see, we're always in a hurry. We want everything yesterday. That's what's wrong. We want everything now, 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 right now. But God says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. How wise a person is to learn to wait on God. Biggest mistakes I've ever made have always been made in a hurry. The decisions that wrecked and ruined me, I made in a hurry. If we could just learn to wait on God. And Sarah came to him and said, this looks like the years are going by. It's going to be too late now. And so Abraham went into the handmaid and had a baby that God had to send away. See, I'm not lifting this man up as a perfect man. He's perfect in Christ. But he believed God. The Scriptures declare that by this faith in God, this faith he believed God, he was justified and declared righteous. Holy before God. He was called the friend of God. The friend of God. He believed God. God, I believe. Now, this is important. Look, if you still have your Bible open, Romans 4, look down at verse 22. It says, Abraham believed God, and this faith was imputed to him, counted to him for holiness. It's a matter between him and God. There's too many people between you and God, friend. You don't need to go down the front and shake that preacher's hand or go to a counselor or a soul winner or an inquiry room. How about doing business with God? That's where the mercy is. That's where the fountain of grace is. That's where the forgiveness is. And Abraham dealt with God. And he believed God. Now, this wasn't written, and it was counted to him for holiness, for righteousness. God accepted him on the basis of his faith. It's the only way he could come. He didn't have any works. He didn't have any goodness. He didn't have any morality that God could accept. But God can accept you on the basis of faith because that faith's in his Son. Now, he said, this was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him for righteousness, but for us also, for you and me, to whom this righteousness shall be imputed, the same righteousness Abraham had. The same relationship with God. I can be a friend of God if I can believe like Abraham believed. Why not? Why not? This was written for us also, to whom righteousness shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Do you believe? The faith of Abraham is the same kind of faith that you and I have. It's the faith of all of God's people. That's why we're called children of Abraham. Because it's the same faith. But preacher, can you give us what you believe to be the secret of Abraham's faith? There has to be. Now here's a man that believed God. He believed God. Most people don't. Or they believe in God, or they believe there is a God. The devil believes there's a God. In fact, he's quite sure of it. But there has to be a reason for such assurance. There has to be a reason for such confidence, such great faith. On what basis did Abraham believe God? Well, yeah, I can answer that. I can tell you. Our Lord tells us in John 8:56, listen, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, the day of the Redeemer. He saw it and he was glad. Oh, Abraham, the sinner, believed God, the Holy One, could accept him because he saw the Savior. He saw the Redeemer. Abraham believed that the Holy God could forgive his sins and make him righteous and take him to glory because a Redeemer, a substitute, a Savior, whose day he saw, fulfilled all that God required for him. That's it. That's it right there. Abraham saw all the promises of God toward him and his seed fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Listen to Galatians 3:16. Listen. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Listen. He did not say unto seeds as of many, but seed as of one, and that to thy seed, which is Christ. The promise was made to Abraham in Christ. Through Christ. The promises were made to Abraham of life, of joy, of a city, of hope, of glory, not on the basis of what Abraham did, but what his seed, his Savior did for him. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. When did he see the day of Christ, preacher? When he stood there and watched Sarah give birth to that boy, that miracle child, Isaac. Sarah was 90 some odd years old and gave birth to that child. That's a miracle child. That's a miracle of God. And Abraham right then saw the miracle birth, the virgin birth of Christ Jesus. And then when he took Isaac up on the mountain and put him on the altar to sacrifice him as God had commanded him, and the Lord told him to look over there, and in the thicket there was a ram caught. And he took Isaac off the altar and put the ram in Isaac's place. He saw Christ, our substitute. And then when he cut the throat of that ram and the blood ran out over the altar before God, the cleansing blood, he saw Christ on the cross. He saw my day. He rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. I'm not telling you that you're going to have any confidence and assurance and certainty of your relationship with God by anything you find in yourself or in your church or in your duties or in your religion or in your doings. But if you can see, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. And Christ said, Abraham saw my day. He saw Emmanuel incarnate. He saw the righteous Redeemer. He saw the bloody sacrifice. He saw the risen Justifier. Can you see him? If you can see his day, if you can see by faith. I'm not talking about these eyes. Don't ask God for a vision, wasting your time. He has spoken to us by His Son. See, this was the faith of all Old Testament believers. It's based on Christ. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Moses said, God will raise up that prophet like unto me. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Isaiah wrote, unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name's called Wonderful. And Jeremiah said, he's the Lord, our righteousness. That was Abraham's faith. He saw Christ. He saw my day. And I'll tell you, I can rest not on my, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, not on my strength, not on my works, they're filthy rags, but I can look and see Him, the perfect Savior. And I can say, God, be merciful to me. Be propitiatory in Christ toward this sinner. All right, now, if you want these messages, this one, Abraham Believed God, and the one I brought last week, I preached last week on Faith Worketh by Love. These are two messages on faith I'd like for you to have. Faith Worketh by Love and Abraham Believed God. Both messages on one tape. We'll send them to you for what less than what it cost us to produce them, $2. Here's the address. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.